What's up, Food Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Food Podcast. We got Rodrigo Torres right here, man. Shining, man.
What up? How you guys doing, everybody?
You lost 2 pounds, right?
Six.
Six. I lost seven, bro.
Really, fool?
Hell yeah, man. I weigh myself today, but you know, that it don't even really count.
What?
288.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, man. I was like 301, bro, 2 weeks ago when I was eating a lot. What's up, fool? When I was sleeping with pie. We got Lisa right here.
Hello.
Byron Bowers.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
All the way from Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right. We here. We live. What's up, fool? Yeah, at Byron Bowers is my Instagram for those who want to know. I can't even say what's up, fool, like you do. You know what I mean?
What's up, fool?
What's up, Shawty?
That's what you shout it out.
Like, what's up, Shawty?
Like, you got to say, like, look out. What's up, fool?
It's beautiful.
We got Byron Bowers right here. You guys don't know him, man. He was at my wedding.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right, man. We were deep.
Deep.
Eric Andre showed up. Well, the first time I met you, I think, I don't even remember when I met you.
It had to be like 2010. I was on a run. I was doing a whole bunch of Latin rooms. I just was fresh to L.A., and I discovered these Latin rooms. And I was like, oh, this is dope. You know what I mean? Y'all pay gas money. We go out. People stare at you. You know what I mean? My first international audience. I would get stared at with guys with cowboy boots and belt buckles and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is...
Got an artifact.
Yeah, man. I don't know how Puerto Ricans do it in New York, but Mexican, we got a shitload of rooms over here that pay 50 bucks.
Yeah. It's a ton of rooms. Pop up. It's like black rooms in Atlanta. That's how black rooms are. You know, you be like, wow, who invented this room? Where y'all find this place at? And they do comedy, they do. You know?
I know, man. There's a lot of... Like, you can make a living in Atlanta without even being known.
That's true.
There's a lot of comedy over there. But LA, it was a lot of comedy, like a lot of, I don't know when it started, but somehow somebody decided, you know what? I can't be doing the comedy store for 15 bucks.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Latino comedians, man, they want to get paid, man. Or they feel they need to get paid. Some of them feel they need to be paid, and man, they shouldn't be in the room.
That's true. That's true. It was interesting. It was an interesting shock for me to do it on the West Coast. Because before then, I was in like Brownsville and Laredo.
You were there too?
Yeah, I went to those.
So you know, that's a Mexican dirty town. You know Raymond Orta?
You know what? A black dude brought me down. Black promoter. He spoke Spanish. His wife was Spanish.
Oh, I know his name.
Carlos Cody?
Carlos Cody?
I think that's his name.
Long he wore cowboy face. Boots?
Nah, he ain't that. He ain't that.
Mexican?
Yeah, he ain't
he
that.
He only wore those boots when he visited his wife's family.
But yeah. that was cool, man. It was a good experience. And, yeah, that's when I started. I got a glimpse of Mexican racism.
Oh, yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like Latin on, like Mexican on Mexican racism.
Oh, yeah, there is, man. Especially the darker Mexican. Hey, man, who invented Chocomil?
It was interesting. That's how also, I can
there's like a, it's racist between Mexican, between like if someone's darker, someone's poorer. But I think it's worse if they're poor and they come from the country.
Well, what I learned that day, I was in Laredo. I was in McAllen. It was 2008, and it was anti-Obama rally going on right outside my hotel.
No way.
So I had to deal with that.
Are you serious?
Those yeah, Texas my first Mexicans,
time.
Though.
My first.
But they were Mexicans.
This ain't even Mexican. This is my first time Texans, walking. This is my first time in Texas, right? And that was my intro to Texas.
Wow.
Right outside my hotel, and then they staring at me because I'm walking around like this is cool, you know. And then in McAllen, I met people from Mexico City, and then they was telling me the difference between Mexicans from Mexico City and Mexicans in southern Mexico. And they was lighter complexion and they spoke differently and all this stuff. And I was like,
what did they tell you, those motherfuckers?
Well, you know, they say shit like, we the elite. And basically was saying that we the elite of the group. You hear this everywhere.
Yeah, if they live in Polanco.
I've been to Polanco. Polanco is nice. You know what I mean? I recently went to Polanco.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay.
If you got cheddar, you're really from Mexico City. You're really from there. But that's if you're on the outskirts, saying. Man, that's your Uber driving.
That's what I'm saying. Or it's even like, yeah, you got the hood, the same hood. Like when I went to Brazil, they got on the hills, you got the places you don't go in Mexico.
Favelas.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's funny how they colored them, you know, to make sure you don't go there.
The peak.
But they're so beautiful.
But
yeah,
they colored them
colors.
To make them beautiful. You've been to the peak? Tourists.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
Where's the peak? What state is that?
It's in Mexico City right there. That's where Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas is from.
I was heading to Teotihuacan, which was north of Mexico City.
45 minutes.
Yeah, going south, you could see these beautiful.
Teotihuacan.
Yeah, but I mean, not even the pyramids, but the hood.
Right.
That's painted. And it's these beautiful colors. It's like a mural. it makes you want to go over there, but
it's for the tourists to not realize how poor the areas are.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it's for. It's to hide it.
Once you fly into Mexico City, you can see all that shit. Yeah. You see everything that's like beautiful and like rich and ostentatious and the ghetto ass shit.
You know, you can see that too also when you fly into El Paso.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, man.
And you go to the left, it's like somehow the United States know how to keep the dust in Mexico. Because you look to the right, a cabrón is dusty, brother, burning trash.
Hell yeah.
And then you go to the left, El Paso, it's just dusty.
Remember when we went to that little hill that we went up there in El Paso the last time before that one, where like the real housewives of El Paso live at?
Right there where that churro truck was.
Yeah, it's all gated community style. And then the other part of El Paso is just dusty as hell and like, you know. Looks almost Mexico-ish.
I remember when I went to Tijuana, they was like, don't go over there. They cutting American heads off. And every time you read something, you're like, that's just white people.
Yeah.
Right? So I peek over to Juarez, Mexico, and I was like, they chopping niggas' heads off over here.
You seen a little head?
Man, I didn't know what I saw, but it looked like it was just a war zone.
What year was that?
That was like maybe 3-4 years ago.
My first time in El Paso, Texas, my first time. They found a mass grave with a bunch of dead people, like at least 17 or more.
Yeah. Matamoros style?
Yeah, man. This is 1990. My first time there was 1998. I took a Greyhound bus there. And I remember the comedian that was performing, Ben Creed.
Damn.
He said, from New York, he said, I don't know if you guys had an ancient burial ground next door and everybody died. But yeah, man, they found a bunch of bodies. But I didn't know, like, I didn't go to Juarez that week. But I remember going back, and I did go with Joy Medina. But I wasn't scared. But there was a lot of talk about it because when I was in El Paso, when we went to that comedian, that fat fool Chewy.
Yeah,
and I was talking to a lady there, and she told me we were talking, throwing stories, and she said that her brother was visiting in Mexico, and he was kidnapped. And they had him in a car. The guy was arguing in the radio with somebody in Spanish. Then somebody, I guess, who had like an LA accent, mm-hmm. He was like a cholo from LA. Damn dog, you got the wrong one, fool. And they got the wrong guy. And they said that he looked like the politician they were supposed to kidnap or whoever, a cop, and it wasn't him. And they let that fool go, bro. Yeah. They just threw him out of the car.
You're worthless.
But it's crazy because when she told me that story, I was like, wow, you don't even know how lucky he was. They just probably threw him and, you know, and went up to the real guy afterwards and just covered the mistake, you know?
Yeah, mostly it's like really elite style. It's just the cops, dude. Because even in like posh office buildings or like apartment buildings in Mexico City, if you let the door guy, if you don't tip out and you don't have a good team around you, they'll go, hey, homeboy lives here. Homeboy goes in this hour from this step to that step. He doesn't have a bodyguard. Like, they'll snatch your ass up.
That's how, but, I mean, what can you do? You know what I mean? Nothing. I mean, I don't know. It's something, it's fucked up, but it's something so chill about it. You know, from Atlanta where.
What made you go to Mexico?
Why? My girl is a director and she was filming a commercial down there. For those don't know, sometimes they film commercials in Mexico because it's you got a vast colors. You got black Mexicans all the way to white Mexicans. And if it's music playing in the background, can't nobody tell which is which. So they can shoot a commercial for cheap, you know what I mean? And you see this going on a lot, so that's how I made my way down, you know.
Because they got Haitians over there now.
Yeah, Haitian community growing
in Tijuana.
Yeah, so we was in Mexico City, and they went further south to other beautiful places outside the city. Very beautiful, and the food's great. You know,
hell
what I mean?
Yeah, dog.
Your girlfriend does a lot. Your girlfriend's a well-known director. Like she does.
I only like to talk about it because people be coming up to me.
She does like commercials. And she doesn't do. Like,
yeah, I think they fans of mine, and then they be asking about her and shit. Kid crushes my ego. But yeah, I travel. I find myself traveling with her sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because she go to dope places. You know, with comics travel, we get the shitty hotels. And whatever. Yeah. When directors travel, they get, you know, you in the fucking, we was in like a high-end hotel. I mean, I'm swimming on the roof of the pool overlooking the city. And I'm like, man,
tight.
I picked the wrong profession. You know what I mean? This is crazy, you know, so it's cool. But you learn a lot, you know what I mean? But they're very protected. They get transport everywhere. Somebody ordering, scheduling your meals and stuff like that. So it's an interesting way to travel.
Top-notch handlers.
Versus me and Amir, we just got back from Lebanon, Beirut, and we just were walking down the street for 4 hours.
Wow.
We don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? These guys with machine guns walking around, and we just like.
Just regular full civilians or soldiers?
These are soldiers, some of them cops, and they on tanks in the middle of the road. They just sitting on tanks, and you try to take a picture of them, they like, you know, Middle Eastern's got a look that's just already killer, you know what I mean? Even though they could be the nicest person in the world, you know, and they just like, move on, yellow, holla, BB. And we like, okay, you know, just keep walking. We walk like 4 miles every day.
That's how you learn the layout.
Only time people stopped us was like to ask directions. But by that time, we knew where everything was. So we were like, yeah, keep going straight. You're going to get downtown. But it's cool.
What was the nightlife in Beirut?
Man, the nightlife is if you in your 20s, it's insane. It's the Vegas.
Really?
It's the Vegas of the Middle East. Wow. That means all the hijabis come and they take off their hijabs and they party.
Yeah.
And the party go to 4. And then after that, it's an after party. You know what I mean? But it's nobody's like doing like crazy drugs. Like to them, that's getting loose. But ain't nobody doing nothing too crazy over there. You know what I mean? Like how we do it in Vegas. But it's a place where everybody could fly an hour and let loose. And it's all that, all the music we don't like. It's so Americanized. It's like, man, am I in Glendale?
Ding, 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 ding,
that, you know what I mean?
Word to your moms.
And then when they buying bottles, you like, yo, the Emirates are in the house. They just bought 32 bottles of champagne. And it's like, oh, this is what money is. Like these Lamborghinis and Ferraris, they flying their cars in. It's like, it's real money here, bro.
Real paper, dog.
It's real corruption.
They be flying hoes from L.A., huh?
Oh, yeah. On the low.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. They do it. All them Instagram models, they over there getting it in. You know
tag your sponsor.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, I saw that. I just saw that, too. And it's amazing that that's been going on.
For years, huh?
For years. And it happens all over the world. Because just think, Americans are just like, they probably just getting a few white women. But it's beautiful women in Latin America. You know what I mean? It's beautiful women in Greece. And all these women from all over the world, they fly over. And if you look at the women Instagram over there, they are done up. And it's like, oh, this is some beautiful shit. You know what I mean? The only drug trafficker I met was Lebanese and Latin. You go back and forth from like Miami to Venezuela somewhere. And I'm like, damn, that's a whole different ballgame. We just got to get it from Oregon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You worldwide. So
international
place. When you were there in Beirut, how did everybody treat you knowing that you were American and African American?
I got treated nice. It was when I'm talking, like if I'm talking to somebody and they hear my voice, they always turn in heads like, oh shit, who is this? If I trip, it's like the roads are like not paved equal, so I'm always tripping and falling, like I'm clumsy. And then people be blowing their horn like, bip, bip, I see you. You know what I mean? There was a lot of that going on. So, yeah, they was like doing high fives and taking pictures. Like, we get treated well. We get treated well.
I got treated real well when I was in Holland, like in Rotterdam.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they heard my accent, they started quoting American Me, Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh, that's, yeah. See.
They were bowing down when I came to their town. Like, the gangsters there, like, after the show, like, we smoked a spliff. One guy, it was weird, because one guy had just, Rodrigo told you, like, about that dude that had, pure like he had like some weak tobacco in the blunt, but then he put all hash in there, bro. Like all hash.
Use the tobacco.
And I told him where I was from, and he was quoting Blood In, Blood Out. He goes, man, if you were like walk around the neighborhood, he goes, you got rank here already because you're from East Los.
Yeah.
Damn.
What happened with me? This guy was like, you a rapper? I was like, no. And he just started freestyle rapping for like 5
really
minutes.
Does.
Yeah, somebody got the video of it, and it was just I'm just staring.
He wanted
like
a battle.
Yeah, I'm just staring like, man, please.
Do you approve?
No, I'm like, come on, man, I'm not a battle person. You know what I mean? Get out of here. I'm just trying to enjoy my night. And he just kept going. You know what I mean? Just rapping, and I was like, this is weird. Oh, and I've gotten called nigga there more times than the past 5 years in the United States.
Where? In Beirut?
Yeah. Wow. Like, just to take a picture. Like, yeah, I want to take a picture with this nigga. And then
no
they took
way.
A picture. Yeah, because it's so casual. Like,
the they American take it from culture. The songs, though, right?
Yeah, it's just like, it is what it is. And I'm over there saying it, too, like, on stage. So, it was weird. You know what I mean?
But they were happy, they said. They couldn't wait to see one, huh?
Yeah, they couldn't wait.
They were practicing.
Practicing,
let me play it again.
You know Jessamy Peluso?
Yes.
So when she was there, she heard it, and she was just shocked, like, did he say what I just thought he said? And I'm like, just keep it moving. Don't ask treat me it like you in a room full of Klan members.
How's that food out there, though, dog?
Man, the food is crazy. It's bananas, man. That's fresh my fourth time in the Middle East. And yeah, anywhere where there's no ice, you know what I mean? The food pretty much is going to be
fresh.
Yeah. That, and even Mexico City, wow, you know what I mean? It's dope. It's like, what? And then you got to come back to America and try to find food to eat. That makes sense? You know what I mean? So it's crazy to go to these places. Like, by the time I came back from Mexico, I went last year, I had to diet.
Rodrigo too, bro.
Hmm?
Rodrigo came back big with a lady.
Hey, man, I came back.
We're macking hard, dog.
Man, I had
like
bone.
Like animals.
Hard, dog.
Man, I ate bone marrow the size of my leg.
Rodrigo.
I ate the first time Rodrigo, I was
bone. You had bone marrow, right?
The first time. We're
at Mexico? Man.
Mexico City.
Yeah?
That was a lot.
It's fucking
crickets.
Bomb. Yeah, dog.
I seen crickets in Tijuana by the, when I went to the bakery, this bakery had like a cover over the pan dulce, the sweet bread.
Yeah.
And then it had like that good Mexican candy that they don't sell over here. You know, like the sweet potato that hardened
dulce
with candy.
Dulce de leche, calabaza.
And then like the real, real hard macaroon.
Uh-huh.
And all that shit was covered with bees. And then over there, they had on the side, they had chocolate covered crickets.
Yep.
And you ate them?
I ate the crickets. I ate something that wasn't quite ready. Because it squirted off in my mouth.
What? It's all protein, though, dog. A lady comes by with a big old bucket, huh? Gives you a little pinch.
Look, man, I really don't care what it is. You know
so
what?
Semen. Semen's a ton of protein when you eat that.
Look, when you
grow, I ain't blowing nobody.
Yeah. What did you smash? A cricket?
Yeah.
Oh, it was fresh?
Cricket. He said he ate it and it squished it in his mouth.
One of but it was live?
No, I don't think it was live.
It just wasn't dehydrated all the way.
Or it played dead. That's probably what I like, a pregnant cricket. Yeah.
He was waiting for one bad joke.
He said it played dead, dog.
The motherfucker played dead, you know what I mean? Cricket never seen a nigga before, so he was shocked. He just was just staring. I ate it. That's crazy.
What kind of poverty you see in Beirut?
Man, all the people that was begging for money are Syrian. They from Syria. Refugees that was sent over. And they took over like 1.5 million. Which is a lot for a poor, corrupt country.
Yeah, with no support, no ability to support them as refugees.
And they're with their kids, like, in their hands. And then they got the little palm out and showing on camera like this, like, saying something that I don't even know. You know what I mean? And I remember giving a kid, I'm out like 2 or 3 o'clock at night, and this young Syrian kid's out there selling flowers. And they hustle on. And I'm like, yo, man, keep doing your thing, you know? And I gave him a $2 bill, and I didn't know that $2 was rare out there. Like $2 bills, and I was like, man, I probably got this kid robbed.
Or killed, yeah.
Yeah, giving him a $2 bill, you know what I mean? So it's interesting, because when I was in Dominican Republic, the kids that were begging were Haitians, which was weird, you know what I mean? And I remember I was over there, I'm like, I ain't giving you motherfuckers money. And then this Haitian was like, you know, we know what's going on in America. We know that they shooting y'all niggas over there.
He's trying to appeal to
but
us.
He was like, you know what?
Reverse
you know
psychology
the difference?
On your ass.
He was like, you know the difference that y'all got that we don't have? Because they treat us unfair too? Y'all can still make it. I was like,
true
you know
though,
what?
Dog.
People in America don't know that, man.
Here go $5. You know what I mean?
That's what
but
they say
it's true.
In Mexico, dog. Las oportunidades que tienes, güey.
Yeah.
Sabes, güey.
You know, those are the things you learn. I think, I believe if it's possible that every person, especially black, you know, should go see these things. Because some of the stuff that we trip on, we'll be like, oh, we kind of like still, you know, we privileged in a way.
We're pampered,
dog. We complain about shit. It's privilege. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
No, the poorest people here are still richer than poor people in other countries. Yeah.
I heard if you make 30 grand or 40 grand, you make more than, you're still rich compared to
you're in
the
1%
world.
Of the world.
Dude. Yeah. That's amazing.
$30,000 a year?
Yeah.
That's more than my mom makes.
If you can eat McDonald's every day, you're pretty much doing good.
Dude, they had a girl from El Salvador, dude. She was on CNN real quick, and she said that she works at Jack in the Box, and she came from El Salvador when she was like 12. And with that money, she's able to pay her rent, go to the movies, and have a good time and buy clothes, and she's happy, dude. I wish everybody could do that, she said.
She might not go to Kim Kardashian's page that much.
Right.
I know, right?
She doesn't give a shit about all that. She just
wants
to live
the new. See, the problem is a lot of people here, like, they make bad decisions, bro, with their money. Like, you know, you shouldn't be paying a phone that's more than your rent.
That's true.
It's true, though.
Dude. I've done it.
You've done
yeah,
it?
You get stuff like that, man.
And I still ain't done it.
As a young comic or now?
Even now.
Okay, nice watch.
Thank you, brother. Here go one right here.
Still on payment plan.
Here go one right here. I did Geico and bought a watch.
Is that a Pilsen?
Is that a Pilsen?
No, this is a...
Oh, that's a Rolex.
Oh, well, bleep. You got to bleep that out. I still go to the hood.
Russell got you there, right? Russell Peters?
No.
I'm trying to help you out
that's
here,
hilarious.
Bro.
Oh, well, even though, you know what I mean? He still look like lunch meat walking around one of these on. I dress it down. I spit on it.
But it looks good, though. It doesn't look like the watch you said it was because of the band. Yeah, that's why I said it's
a
great watch.
Yeah, you
dress it down. It's disguised.
You know what I mean? I learned, you learn not to, you know, if it's like this or you're going to pay taxes. So look how quiet I got.
Wait, what did you say? Or pay taxes?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm like, I'm going to get this. I'm either going to get this or I'm going to have to pay
and
taxes.
And pay taxes. Taxes come first.
No, no. Not at the time. Here's the thing.
You get that in America or in Beirut?
In America.
All right.
In Beirut, no, they got knockoffs. You know what I mean? Everybody got one of these.
What's the best knockoff you've seen in Beirut?
Probably
Apple
like
oven.
Some lips.
You mean like on somebody?
Yeah, like on somebody. Like, they were lips, but they were like
botched.
They were like camel lips. You know what I mean? They went for it. They was like, I don't want to look like a human no more.
It came with a stump.
You know, in America, if women get bad jobs, bad lip jobs, they look like cats. Over there, they look like camels. You know what I mean? It's a different ballgame.
That's a camel, dog.
So, yeah. I mean, when you grow up with nothing or lack.
You grew up poor in Atlanta?
Yeah, for the most part. Or everybody had more than me. You know what I mean? They could get the latest thing, and I would get it when they were done with it. Like, I still wear hand-me-downs to this day, you know? So, when you get someone, you know, like, yeah, people mess up. They don't pay taxes. But it's different when it's in your hand.
Mm-mm.
When it's in your hand, it's like, okay, I know I said I was going to do these things, but
no.
Let me just try this one thing. And then you try that and another, and next thing you know, you 3 years behind on taxes.
You can't be that way.
When you first got your first, like, comedy check or an actor check. You know, when you realize it was like, whoa, I'm going to fucking get all G'd up today.
Yeah.
Was that?
Well, I got lucky. I had a job in my early 20s that I fucked up on. I fucked the money up. So when I first made a grand in comedy, extra grand, I bought silver.
You did?
I bought silver bullion. And I remember Atlanta, I bought $1,000 of silver. And I remember I got it like 0.999% pure silver. And I was like, I'll never be poor again.
Damn.
$1,000.
Motherfucker, I gotta. What happened?
He from Savannah.
Yeah, the only thing, the silver dropped in price.
Get off the field. We have another comedian named Keith Manning. This fool went all the way to Dubai to buy gold bullions.
What?
Man, they got it right there in the vending machines, Rico.
That's crazy. Gold is different, though.
Yeah, gold.
But silver?
Although gold was down for a long time, but it's just been up for the last 2 years.
Hell yeah, man.
I only could afford silver, and it still dropped. And I was like, well, I was trying to get something that you can't easily liquidate anyway. You know, just in case Armageddon come or you in another country and you need money, you'd be like, I got the silver right here. You know? So that's why I try to buy those things because, you know, my dad paranoid schizophrenic, so a little bit. A little bit of paranoia rubbed off on me.
Doomsday prepper.
You better pay your taxes, I'm telling you.
I'm caught up now, though.
Okay, good. I'm serious.
It broke. I was living good until I decided to pay it. I was like, no. You know what made me want to pay taxes?
We grew up poor as fuck, and taxes come first, man. Because there have been so many people who get...
Yeah, that's the thing. You see
gone down for
so
it.
So I was like, since I'm down, I'm just going to go on and go all out. And I wanted to have a kid. Once I decided I wanted to have a kid, I was like, let me start trying to get my life together. And the first thing I did was got a California license. You got to start
at the
bottom.
Get ready for that child
support. No, not ready for child support, but you got to get on the map again and become official. You know what I mean? That's a little thing.
You were in the dark out here for a while?
Not for a while, but I was just riding Georgia. You know what I mean? I was just riding Georgia okay. for a long time, just in case. You know, and then, you know, it's crazy. As soon as I got a Cali license, they allowed people from Georgia to bring permits, use their gun permits that could travel back and forth to each country. I mean, any place. And I was like, damn, could have kept my Georgia license. I could have an AR right now. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Go to the haha. What's up, fool? Do you go to Troy? You have upcoming shows?
Yeah, dude. August 7th at the Fox in Riverside. And we have Martin Moreno Rosa. And then August 14th in Shamrock in Temecula. Hit up my IG.
Shamrock. Okay, people. I'll be at Jacksonville, Florida, August 2nd through the August 4th. Amarillo, Texas, August 10th. McAllen, Texas, August 11th. Lubbock, Texas, August 24th. Laredo, Texas, August 25th. Brea, California, August 30th through September the 2nd at the Brea Improv. Check out FelipeWorld.com/tour for info on all these upcoming shows. You have upcoming shows?
My next show is I'm going to be at La Jolla in San Diego September the 1st and the day before that. I'm going to do my dates backwards. So that's a Friday and Saturday. Come check me out. Go to my Instagram and everything at ByronBowers.live.
La Jolla Comedy Store,
you know, by the way. And then I might dip down to Tijuana just to say what's up, you know what I mean, to everybody down there. Get my teeth clean, come back, you know, like a boss.
You've done it there before?
No, I just hear you could do interesting stuff like that there.
Did you do any comedy when you were in Mexico?
I did, man. I forgot the name of the show, but I got hooked up with some comedians down there, and the crowd didn't even speak English. I think 30% of the crowd spoke English, and I still got an applause break on the sex joke and cop shooting black people joke. Tight. So I'm like, oh, that's universal.
That's tight. Yeah. You do comedy in the Middle East?
I did a comedy in Beirut, Afghanistan.
For military or what?
For military in Afghanistan and Bahrain, but this Beirut show, Lebanon, was all like regular people, you know what I mean? Locals and stuff who came to a comedy show we did for like 250 plus a night, you know what I mean? So it was good.
And are those English speakers?
Yeah, they English speakers. English
like
is
expats
a,
from
English is a third language.
Oh, wow.
So it's Arabic, it's French, and then English. So everybody does speak English. It's an English culture. Like they listen to our music, they dress in like our clothes, you know what I mean?
So culturally the jokes all land over there too?
For the most part, you know what I did? I just kept it 100, you know what I mean? I talked about like the issues that we have. Like if you was to go over there and talk about issues that Latin have over there, like real issues, they would get it more because they
pay attention more to international
they do
stuff, yeah.
They know everything and they go through the same hardships, you know what I mean? So I was like, I'm just gonna do this. I ain't worried about changing nothing. Some of the dirty stuff hit hard, and then some of it was just like, oh, they don't understand because it's still conservative over there. So it's interesting on when they will laugh, and like sometimes girls was afraid to laugh sitting next to their guys and vice versa. Because it's like, oh, I'm telling on myself. Mm-hmm. But it's funny to see women like fully covered just die laughing over a skirting joke. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. Everywhere I've been, I perform.
That's crazy. Over there, they're telling you to, you pretty much can say whatever you want. But now you're going to, people are like, when you go to a college, like I've done a lot of colleges, and they never told me to not say this, not say that. I figured that, you know, they already know my comedy, man. Yeah. You didn't book me because I'm clean.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And then when I get there, he goes, you know, I'm not going to change. I told that lady, the last gig I did was in Arkansas. And I told that lady, you know, I could say whatever I want, right? He goes, yeah, say whatever the hell you want. Yeah. He goes, they already know who you are.
Yeah.
So I did an hour and a half, bro. They didn't change shit.
Yeah, it's for me, they don't know. So it's like, I'm like, let's do. I was in some place in the Midwest and I was like, who do y'all don't like? And they was like, the Mormons. And I was like, hey. I was like, what y'all do for fun? And they was like, nothing. I was like, hey, we should put on white sheets, go to the Mormon neighborhood, and just burn shit, like with crosses and for fun. And there, the whole place got quiet. And I was like, oh, y'all don't understand sarcasm. I'm like, that's what the KKK did for fun where I'm from. And then they just got tight. And I was like, oh, shit. So I'm used to that getting tight, but over there, in the Middle East, I know not to talk about religion because that will get you killed.
Yeah, and some of the people who had gone, it wasn't Beirut. It might have been Saudi Arabia or somewhere like that, or maybe Dubai. And people were told that you can pretty much say whatever, but yeah, don't talk about like dating. You can't even talk about dating because people don't date over yeah there. And like you can't even talk about like walking and holding hands or something like yeah that because they just don't do
that's
it.
That's a no-no.
I heard Larry Omaha is banned from Saudi Arabia. From saying the word God in his joke.
Really?
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the only death over there.
Is it God?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you old Yahweh, God. And they're like, no more.
Yeah.
Yank closed the mic on him. He had to go sit in the back and get on the plane.
That was the only death death over there. That somebody talked about God. Some local. And they
So they did him.
Oh yeah, they
even
did
positively, you're not supposed to mention God.
It was a positive joke.
Write the word God or anything like that. Yeah.
What dog?
You can do dog.
You
ever worship this dog? You ever pray for this dog? It doesn't do anything for you but bark, bark, bark.
Bark and nonsense.
I talked about being spiritual and everybody was just like, but they didn't get
like, well, what are you talking about?
You say
I
dog.
I pray five times a day.
That was the most. That was the most startled I've been. Just because over in the prayer breaks out, you know what I mean? In Arabic, like a song over the whole city.
It's like a at siren, right?
Yeah, it's like a siren. You know what I mean? And it could be nighttime and it's quiet and it's just like, ah, you like, oh, what was that?
What would happen if you took a knee for that?
I don't know. I never thought about it. But whoever sang that song is crushing it. I mean, they going for it.
That shit on Spotify, dog.
It's hard not to dance, it too. It's hard. As a black person, it's just hard. But I feel if I dance, they're going to think I'm mocking it.
Right.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have any sort of prayer and dancing or anything like that combined.
Islam chant.
Yeah, bring that up. You know what I mean? It's dope, though. And it goes for like, I don't know, half hour, hour.
A call to prayer would be what it'd be called, yeah.
We walked past one mosque while it was going on. They just waved us. It don't definitely don't start like that.
Cha-ching.
It's time to pray. You know?
That's the one when they bow down, right? You can hear it all over the speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. On Malcolm X in the movie, when he goes to Mecca, you hear it and see it.
And then they stop. And then just boom, right again. You're like, whoa.
Perfect timing on that.
Oh, we're not disrespecting them.
And we don't know what they're saying.
Done shot up the studio.
But, yeah, it's cool, man.
Iran.
Yeah, you don't know what's going on. You just keep it moving at that point.
Do they get offended with coup d'etat jokes?
Coup d'etat.
So, yeah, man, it's an interesting experience. You know, this is how I determine what type of comedian I am. If I can go anywhere in the world, right, even if I go with my lady and I could be like, where is a show here? And somebody tell me, and I get booked on the show. I was like, "Oh, I must not be that bad." If I can get a reference to like London, to Mexico, to another English speaking show, you know what I mean? To you know Israel, to Lebanon, these places. And I'm like, "Oh, I might not be that bad." You know, no matter how I get disrespected in LA, and I go right. And they get it and they laugh, and it's like, "Oh, this is a direct connection to the people," and it says something about yourself as a human being.
That's where it's at.
To, you know what I mean? To be able to connect to different people, different cultures around the world, too.
I know, man. I got an email on Facebook from this lady who saw my comedy special in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
And she said, I got most of it.
That's the thing. They will get most of it. They'll get it. You know what I mean? It's something amazing about yourself being able to communicate. Especially our backgrounds are kind of distinct.
She was telling me about the struggles over there, too. Like, I got your struggle, like the joke. Because then she was telling me about other people, you know, like what she related to, you know. Like, another joke I said, oh, over here is Armenians. You know, like she was saying that.
Mm-hmm. It's very poor over in Israel. You know what I mean? It's a poor place. Versus, like, across the border in Beirut, where they got everybody driving Beamers and Porsches, and it's weird to see, you know what I mean? And then, like, they're separated by a line, but they hate each other. But somebody been to both countries, you know what I mean? And the food is the same. And it's like, man, y'all hate each other, but the food.
That's like Haiti and Dominican Republic. There's just that line. It's such a small island. They swear they don't share any DNA.
Yeah, but you could kind of tell.
But you can see there's a bloodline that these people share. But the politics, the government is all different. The
I mean, I
are
get
separate.
It. I'm from Georgia. We hate Alabama. You know what I mean? We hate Alabama, but it's similar. You know what I mean?
Human nature.
You got University of Georgia, red, and you got the Crimson Tide, which is burgundy.
Based on biblical beliefs.
But it still don't go along, you know. So it's interesting.
You came out, when did you come to Atlanta? You started in Atlanta, Georgia at the Punchline?
No,
I saw your name all over the place.
Yeah, that's
in the green
first,
room.
Yeah, I drew
all on the lamp.
I drew all
the
over
ceiling.
Yeah, I wrote my name over
his
that
name's
club.
Everywhere.
Yeah, no.
What's another comedian with Mike Epps from Atlanta?
Henry Welsh.
Henry Welsh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most feared man in comedy.
The most feared man in comedy.
Why is he the most feared man in comedy?
That's what he told us.
That's what he told us.
He's the most feared man in comedy.
He's the self-proclaimed most feared man in comedy. That's what he
told us. The most feared man. Tupac's dead. Notorious B.I.G. is dead. But Rick Smiley's still alive.
Yeah, man.
I'm beefing with two rappers. He said, I'm beefing with two rappers and a comedian.
You know what's funny? Atlanta make you cocky. Atlanta make you cocky because it's
tell about
it.
It's his own thing. Like they boo, like I got booed for a long time. I got shit thrown at me. You know what I mean? And then you come here, it just makes you talk about whatever you want to talk about. Because then if they throwing shit at you in Atlanta for trying to be who you are, and they trying to groom you to be something else, you don't do it. When you go anywhere else in the world, you like, this is who I am. You know what I mean? Y'all ain't gonna throw nothing at. What you gonna? I seen people like getting fights on stage. Every other comedy city is just calm compared to the, you know, when you steal jokes where I'm from, it's fights. Like, it's literally like fights. If you come close and anywhere else, it's like, no, it's none of that.
Little keyboard warrior fights on Facebook.
Yeah, stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a different ball game. So it does something to you, you know.
What part of Atlanta are you from?
I grew up in, I was born in Athens, and then I was raised in Atlanta in Clarkston, which is one of the worst cities in Atlanta, you know, but I don't think it's bad. But that's where the jail is, you know. You've been downtown LA and they got that big beautiful prison. It looks just like the one where I'm from. You know what I mean?
That's their cousins.
So you would hear helicopters flying at night, but they got a gym inside. It's beautiful. You would get jealous. You know what I mean? You get jealous. They living a life in there. You know, they get clothes. They get food every day. You know, so it's cool.
I went to this when I did a show over there with for American Insurance, Bill Bellamy, they all went to the after party, right? And as soon as I got there, I saw this man. Police officers don't play over there, man.
No,
like this guy was like 6'4", big, like linebacker style, you know.
Bill.
But the cop was 6'3", 6'2", just as big though, yeah. Just shorter, dude. I saw him take out that metal stick, and I saw that the sharp end come out. Man, he started fucking him up in the elbows, his wrists, and his shoulders, bro. And he went down. And I said, nah. And I told the driver, nah, can we just go back to the hotel room?
Yeah.
If it's that bad outside, it must be crazier inside. It was the venue.
Yeah. Damn. It's like that.
It's expensive, too. I thought as soon as you get in there, they charge you bottle service. And Tony Rock told me that he was walking with his two bottles. He didn't want to share no more.
Yeah.
He said he spent all his money there.
Here's the thing, too. That you'll see a gay and a straight fight, and it's the same, just as the cop. You'll see 2 6'4" niggas, one with heels on and the other with a regular.
Yeah, man. I didn't know that. Hey, when we got to the hotel, brother. It was nothing but dudes, bro.
Yeah.
Like all men in suits, big dudes, little dudes. Then I didn't go to my room and somebody told me, oh, man, that was hot Atlanta, what you saw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hot Atlanta.
It's interesting. All cops are black. So all cricket cops are black. You know what I mean? When I was young, a sheriff got voted out of office, and he was corrupt. So the winning sheriff, he showed up at his home party and shot him in front of his family.
Oh my God!
You know what I mean?
That's the sheriff that got voted out.
The sheriff that got voted out set up a hit at the guy's home. So they was having a surprise party for him. So his family was inside, and when he got home, it was just a rattle of like gunshots.
Damn!
You know, and that's some of the stuff that we came up in. So you get to other places and all the cops are like white, but it's a black city. And they'll come to the car with the guns drawn because everybody was toting. By the time you were a young black man, you 22, like I noticed all my friends, they strapped. Because they can legally be strapped, you know what I mean? And it's just a way of life. Like people park their cars on their grass because that's their private property. If you walk on their property, they can legally, you know, shoot you. You know what I mean? So it's just like these. You learn these ways to survive that. You know, now I'm in Los Feliz and I'm free. You know what I mean?
That's the one. Don't mess with nobody's money, man.
Hey, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just, those are some of the things that you were taught, like coming up in certain places. Because I was born in a smaller town where it was a little less of that. You know what I mean?
Athens is a college town.
Athens, it's segregated.
That's by. I went there about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Our friend from Dallas, Keith Manning, he's from Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a college town.
And he told me that he went to this other town. He goes, man, I thought Savannah was bad.
Yeah.
He went lower south in Georgia. Yeah. He went to a town. He was, man, it was all black.
Yeah.
He was mayor. cops, schools.
Yep.
Because everybody in Walmart was black, manager, general manager. There was nothing. It was just Mexicans and blacks. But it's all black.
It's like
black
that.
Owned.
It's black. It's like that. You know what I mean? That's what we.
Is that segregation still?
I don't think so. You know, where I'm from, it's a.
Because I didn't see no. There were no white guys there.
Well, where I'm from,
the corporations are grabbing that money though. There's a Walmart.
Thing. Here's the thing of being from a city like mine. You hear you have the separation. Like to a lot of people, Dr. King did well. But where I'm from, it's a divide because they say he killed the black community by desegregating everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you have those beefs going on under the surface.
Still,
yeah, because it's Atlanta's still kind of segregated. Like when I went in the comedy club,
Atlanta's
I just performed.
Very segregated.
People still sat down. If you look at the room, they was like, "Oh, whites was on this side of the room, blacks."
But it's not. It's not institutionally segregated. No. It's by
it's
choice.
It's by
yeah. choice, but also a mindset. Yeah.
Look when people go out. White people go out at 8 and eat dinner. Black people go out at 10. Still, you know what I mean? 11, they go out later at night. You know what I mean? It's just the way. You just it's in your psyche now. You just don't know that's how it is. You know what I mean? People just now coming out the closet on interracial relationships. It's been behind closed doors for a long time. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. So, you know, I'm in an interracial relationship. They don't say nothing too much anymore. They still, like, probably say something behind closed doors.
And those same people who live over there, bro, rather vacation in Mexico than Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah. They go to vacation. Yeah, Hawaii is, like, far-fetched. But going to Cancun, that's like making a big step. You know what I mean? Going to DR, that's taking a big step. It's cool, you know what I mean? Like, bro, Hawaii is like, I remember the first time I went to Hawaii, I was like, what is this? Where all these Asians come from? This is weird, you know what I mean? So, who knows? And you get more love in the DR, you know what I mean, in Mexico and some of these other places.
They want your business so bad.
Huh?
They want your business so bad.
They want your business, and you can fly on the radar. They don't know, like, when I was in, I went to Cuba, we felt like we snuck into Cuba. They didn't know I wasn't Cuban, as long as I kept my mouth closed. When I was in the Middle East, they didn't know, as long as I kept my mouth closed. You know what I mean?
When you went to Cuba, you creeped from Mexico?
Yeah, I went from Mexico. They got my ass, though.
How?
You flew?
Yeah, flew, because if you missed a flight, if we missed a flight, right, there's no connecting flights. So then that's when they find out. You're like, oh, I need this flight. They're like, oh, you need this flight? It's going to cost you $600 more. And, you know, when you buy a flight into Cuba, your visa is like $25. But when you miss your flight, they'd be like, it's $250 now.
Damn.
Oh, they hit us, man. And then you get to Cuba, and they don't use pesos for tourists. They got a dollar called the CUC, which is American dollar plus 10%. So they just hitting you over the head when you want to buy something. I had to legally buy internet in the park.
I had a homie that went over there, and for every $100, they took a 20.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like it's a percentage on top of your money, and then you don't speak the language, so it just makes it even worse. You know, that's just what it is, though. But I get it because when tourists go to Cuba, which fucked me up, which I didn't like, people would go into the locals' houses, see how they were living, and take pictures of that. And I was like, I could have went to where I was from, like Athens, Georgia, if I wanted to hang out in like these little apartments. And, like, you know, people listening to music and they would ask people for money just to take pictures. It was weird to me. So I never went in nobody's house. You know what I mean?
So the people who live there are offering it up as something.
Yeah, they'll
to
be
come,
like, oh, you want
to like,
come in
and give me
have
a dollar or whatever.
Yeah, give me some money, you know?
Yeah, I saw a photo of Eric Andre went to, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He was drinking with this lady.
He was drinking.
He was
like, having
loaded
a
with
there.
A Cuban lady who kind of could be his mom,
yeah,
too.
Because
she was just light skinned like him, same eyes. He goes, it's my grandma.
Yeah, man.
Está loco, mijo.
It's very cool to see. One of my favorite parts is like when the kids in old Havana was throwing condoms with water in it at the white tourists from the third, fourth street. You know, they got the little alleys and it goes up. The balconies go up high and they was just throwing it. And it was New Year's night. Them kids were having a ball throwing them wet. I remember filling condoms up with water, you know what I mean? And they was hitting tours with them. You know, I was like, this is cool. You know what I mean? Because before that, everything else I saw was tours, like, you know, taking pictures with them and taking, like, some cultural appropriation type shit, which I do. You know, I buy clothes in foreign. I bought, like, the Day of the Dead shirts over there, and I wear it like, this is dope. You know what I mean? So, you know, but just to see that was like, oh, this is, like, weird payback in a way.
How was the food in Cuba?
I didn't care for it too much. myself, you know, they didn't have like some of the fruit just wasn't as sweet as the stuff we're used to because they can't import things, you know what I mean?
Or hit it with mad fertilizer.
Yeah, so I stopped eating at one point. I got sick and I just stopped eating. And I remember I was just drink water, which was a mistake. I ended up having diarrhea for 5 days. You know what I mean?
They blasting.
Yeah. So I caught the flu over there, which was it wasn't the hottest thing in the world. But everybody's a business. That's what's interesting.
Mad hustlers.
If you got a car, you a taxi. I mean, we gave somebody $100 to drive us 6 hours. He stopped by his house. He kissed his daughter and his wife. Like we thought we was getting kidnapped. Yeah, we thought we was getting kidnapped because we ordered a taxi and we was like, take us to the Tapas de Callantes, which is the top of the mountains, right? 6 hours from the airport. Waited 3 hours on luggage to arrive. You know what I mean? People bringing printers over and like weird laptops and ink that they trying to bring into the country. You know what I mean?
Coño para imprimir.
Man, and this guy, we hopped in this taxi. This guy, he was straight, iron shirt and everything. He was like, I'm going to get you there. And then he took this taxi out, and then we met another taxi in the middle of nowhere, and it was dark. And we like, what the fuck going on? And he was like, he's going to take you. And we was like,
relay.
We ordered you. And he was like, yeah, but I got to go to work. He's going to take you. And then the guy, we got in his cab, and then he stopped. He made another stop, and his mother-in-law came out, and his daughter came out, and his wife brought him food. And then from there, it was just like 6 hours going 100 kilometers, 160 flying. Kilometers flying the dirt road, boom, the little car. You know
no seatbelt, huh?
No seatbelt. Stopping, smoking a cigarette, drinking coffee. I'm like, this nigga sleep. He's sleeping. He's sleeping, you know what I mean? But he's making his journey.
I want to go, dog.
My girl was scared, but I'm like, when I see stuff like that, that level of danger and you know whatever, I'm like, oh, we doing something. Like, this is the trip. It's an adventure. This is fun. Yeah.
This is the story.
Because I'm not going to sleep at this point because he's sleepy. You know what I mean? And he's tired and he's swerving at 160 kilometers. You know what I mean? But this is it. This is the journey. This is what we paid for right here. You know, we get there and everybody sleep. You get to the hotel 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's nobody at the desk. And then a head just pop up. And somebody just rub their eyes and it's like, yeah, we'll check you in. We get to the hotel. We get in the room and they got swans on the bed made of towels, but it's blood on the swan. And my girl, Ben, she a director. She was like, I can't stay here. And I got the hotel because that's what I can afford. And I'm like, that ain't bad, baby. We got
blood?
No refunds. Just a little blood.
Merlot.
We've had Merlot. We had Merlot at the house. You know what I mean?
You said you like Twilight.
So, yeah, man. It's interesting, but it wasn't and it's a last minute trip. So we got going into the country. We got going in the country because we took what's the Mexican airline they have? Aeromexico.
Aeromexico.
They left 5 hours late, and then we gonna miss the connecting flight. And they was like, "Ain't no more flights till 5 days later." Damn. So we had to buy flights while on a flight.
Damn.
So she bought two separate flights on one airline, and I bought two separate flights. We bought four flights, right? And then we missed the flight she bought, and we caught the flights that we bought. And they was like, instead of $25 for the visa, $250. That was another $500.
So you missed the connection because of them.
Because of them.
Damn.
And they didn't give a fuck. And I'm like, oh, we just got raped going to Cuba. And that was just a precursor to
the rest
of the trip. But we met people from Oregon. They had to get money wired to them. I was like, God damn. Y'all took the super dick. You know what I mean? Yeah, y'all the super dick. Damn. But that's what it is. You make a last minute trip. Like, as much research as I've done, I was cool, but it wasn't going to prepare you for what? You know,
took place.
What took place, especially the way my lady lives. You know what I mean? It was good for me. I couldn't handle it because I'm always like, yo, da da da. It's certain things I won't accept, but you know, some people are just like, that's straight just what narrow, it is. Yeah.
When was that Cuba trip?
That was last Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last.
So Christmas. You were there for New Year's?
No. Christmas before last, because last Christmas we was in Mexico.
Okay.
You know,
we've been wanting to go to Cuba.
How big was the New Year's Eve celebration in Cuba?
Well, you know, Castro just passed, so it wasn't as crazy as it usually like. But they fired cannons. Like, we was up at this castle, and they fired all these cannons, which are loud, like cannonball cannons, like old
1960
school
cannons.
Man, the soldiers, they come out in March and they just launch these things. I don't know how many shots it were, but it was just like boom. Two over the city, you know, and then we took a 3-hour cab ride You know what I mean? Like these old, you know how Cuba got the old school cars? Mm-hmm. That's like old, like 50 old Chevys.
Mercedes yeah. and stuff.
Yeah, that's really like, it's really a Honda or whatever underneath.
Toyota engine.
Yeah, it's a lot of Bundo. You know what I mean? They put those cars together. Bundo. Yeah, they put them together, man.
They'll shove parts that don't fit into that car to make it yeah. fit, to make it run.
They build a car around it. You like, no, if you know what a V8 sound like, it don't sound like a four-cylinder car. And you in the car, you it's no exhaust laws, so that exhaust is hitting you and you dizzy. And then the cab driver took us by his mother-in-law house, and we had to eat because we didn't want to be rude. We had to eat like these cold pickle sandwiches and shit.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like just everybody stopped.
Just pickle?
Yeah, it was like weird. This is weird.
I think you were punked. Like,
bro,
you were punked.
What Cuba did you go to?
That's hilarious, but that's what happened, man.
Come on.
Look, if somebody tell you like.
We don't need pickles, cocksucker.
If somebody be like, all right, I want to rent you for 3 hours, then that's going to come with like, oh, let me stop by. Let me kiss the kids. So they know that I'm not out here cheating.
Yeah, let me tuck in
my I'm going to take all y'all to my family house with my mother-in-law so they can see. And you got to sit there and watch music videos. You don't even know what the fuck going on. You know what I mean? It's like, I hate to say it. It's like being on a, if you ever hustled before or bought drugs or sold drugs, it's like the initial meeting of somebody. For the first time, and you in their environment, you don't know what the fuck going on, so you're on high alert.
Yeah, they're testing
you. Until the thing is done, you know what I mean? It's like that situation. And then you like, all right, let's go drive us around for more. And they cooking pig in the middle of the street. They putting a spike through a pig, and they gutting it in the middle of the street, and his guts are there, and it's smelling. And they just cranking this shit for 6 hours. And they like, you want some?
Hell yeah,
you got some of this pig? And you like, you don't want to be rude. You like, I don't know what the fuck I'm eating with it. I'm eating this shit. A lot of that going on.
Were they good?
Yeah, it was good. That part was good. You could see that. But, I mean, if you was to go, it'd be a different experience. You know what I mean? You speak the language, you know, so it's different. You know what I mean? And like I said, it was a last-minute trip. Other people's trip wasn't like that because it wasn't so last-minute. They planned it months out, and they was with somebody that spoke Spanish. You know what
they
I mean?
Didn't expect a five-hour delay.
They had a handler there taking places?
Taking places. They know what to do. You know, we was just discovering this stuff for the first time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were working. I was working in Mexico. They hired a local guy to take us around.
Yeah,
a fixer.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's how Mexico was for us. You know what I mean? We had that guy. We had transport. We was able to go to the Teotihuacan pyramids, which is beautiful, man. And here's such gorgeous, a historic place. You know, the guy family built the pyramids. The tour guide. You know what I mean? He got like multiple homes with multiple wives. I'm like, you in the game. You know what I mean? You in the game. You know?
Chief.
And he took us to a cave, and we did this ceremony, you know what I mean, that they do. And then we went to another cave and ate. So those parts of trips are beautiful when you see the not the touristy part, but like
behind the curtains. The
culture, you know what I mean?
Those are the best trips.
Yeah, so that's what's important to me. Like, that's when you get in contact with the people. And you, to me, as a spiritual being, you learn a lot about yourself. You see how much alike that humankind are and the faults of when other tribes come in and try to take over a place. Because I feel we got all of that in us. You know
oh, hell yeah, dog.
So that's the thing, you know what I mean? Like, me coming from Atlanta where we fight amongst each other, socioeconomically, but black people don't get along, you know what I mean? And then go to a place like Mexico or Laredo, when you see Latins don't get along, and you go to the DR and they don't get along, and you in Beirut and these Middle East and they don't get along. You're like, damn, dude, we fucked up. As humans, you know what I mean? We got a weird human condition that will always, we probably always have.
You're right. It's a human condition because even in what you're saying is true. Even in black community, Latino community, there's infighting, whether it's religion, whether it's color, skin yeah. color, shade of your skin, even in the same family.
Yeah, my sister likes skin. Yeah, so.
Like, but it's a worldwide problem. Yeah. They'll find something to fight about.
Yeah,
it's
so.
Human nature. Sad.
That's the thing, but a part of me was always like, why we get treated a certain way in this country? They still shooting us. Or, and then you try to escape it and flee, and you're like, oh, this is everywhere. Mm-hmm. It makes me be like, all right, well, fuck that. Fuck complaining about how we get treated and concentrate on having a human experience of living.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Go to eating crickets. Go eat the crickets and see what that's like before the cops shoot you and shit. It caused me to live now. You know, I got a cousin in prison. I took him on his first overseas trip, and he was able to experience what life is like before he got his 10 years. You know what I mean? So it's like, and that affect me. Because I'm in L.A. I'm trying to diet and lose 10 pounds. And then they lock a nigga up. And they lock a nigga up. And I'm like, he ain't going to be able to eat this street meat again. He ain't going to have bacon-wrapped hot dogs no more. I'm going to eat one of these motherfuckers for him.
He ain't going to have no Cuban water.
You know what I mean? No Cuban water. He ain't going to know this shit on himself for 5 days.
I stay, man. You don't know when your time's up.
You know what I mean? You don't. They have to raid for French fries. They have to break in the security guard lockers to steal French fries. Where you from? That's what they do. They plot and plan on that shit.
Just for fries.
For fries.
Dog.
I'm going to get these motherfucking fries. You know, like, what I mean?
Tyson, I'm going to just jack these cookies.
Yeah.
Tyson getting cookies.
It's a different community within themselves. I be sending them pictures of like salads and shit because he was a vegan when he went in. So he jacking off the salads. You know what I mean? Like, this fresh. This shit fresh.
Hold on, fresh man. Slow down with the bacon bits.
I got my dressing.
Yeah. You get a contact, a weird flip phone contact you. Like, who the fuck is this? This is me. Like, nigga, how you get a phone? You know what I mean? You're still making moves. So it's interesting, man.
I sold five cigarettes.
Ingenuity, dog.
Yeah, man. What's up, Fool Podcast?
Yeah, man.
With Byron Bowers.
In the house.
Right, gang.
What's your Instagram?
At Byron Bowers. I'm at Byron Bowers on pretty much everything.
You said earlier, you said something like you get – respect, and you get you felt like you were good, you weren't that bad basically when you could perform in any sort of place.
Yeah, when you could contact somebody and be like, hey, you know who's doing shows here, and they give you the information or they call somebody.
But then you also dropped that you said you don't get the respect in LA.
Oh,
yeah. Are you talking about the comedy scene?
Well, the comedy scene respect me, but as far as I always have beef with dealing with, like, to me, like, agents and managers and stuff, like, they don't get what I'm trying to do or whatever, you know what I mean? That's what makes it a little tough, and especially coming from a city where drug dealers drop mixtapes and become, you know what I mean? You find ways to do it.
Stars.
And I feel I lose some of that. And that's what's good about the Mexican rooms. They independently do it, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's like finding out still how to independently make your moves now. I'm back on that shit. When before I was like trying to work with it, work
industry.
With people, yeah,
trying to play the game,
and that was like they don't get it, and then they turn you down after a while because y'all don't see eye to eye on stuff, and it's not like, you know, I say what I would call a Negro who'd be like, yeah, whatever you want, I'll do. I'm like, nah, let me see the paperwork, or nah, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Stop sending me this bullshit, you know. And it's like, oh, you could become difficult to work with, which I'm not. But it's a divide. And I talk about what the fuck I want to talk about. You know what I mean? I talk about the cultural things I've seen or how ridiculous things are, you know, still. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Some things are just hard for me to grasp. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want me to call you this. You want me to call you they and give you your respect. But it's hard because we still getting shot by the cops. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're talking about gender pronouns.
Gender stuff. It's like a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
it's other priorities.
Yeah, they still call us. They still call us niggas, and you want me to call you they? Like, it's they that.
Yeah.
My English ain't even that good for me to even concentrate on the pronouns.
They don't understand flavor, dog.
Yeah, it's the thing. Like, it's still separation. You want to be included, but yet you want to be called another name. And when I talk about stuff like that, they like, oh shit, you know, calm down. And I'm like, no.
He's problematic.
I'm gonna call you a nigga too.
He's problematic.
You know, when I first met this fool, they had a Latino scene going on that was like right before Busting on TV with Good Locals, which I now think is gone because there's a Latino scene, but it's not like how it was before. That was like the original scene.
Yeah.
And that still hasn't even got transcended, but that was like for real, dog. That shit was a line around the corner paying $5 to get in 2001, dog.
You know what's interesting?
You know what I'm saying?
About
those shows were fucking bumping, dude.
Yeah. I see, and I don't really know the depths of it, but Latin comics be beefing. Just like black comics be beef. Yeah, but
yeah,
it's
man.
Like, it go hard. Like, yeah. It go hard. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. You know what I mean?
Very rare do my fucking swing fist, though.
But it's because the industry has been set up in such a way, or has works in such a way, where there can only be one.
We're in the dark side of like if it was Star Wars, Mexicans and Latinos, we're like the dark side. Like, mm-hmm. There could only be one.
There can only be
right.
one.
But back then
that was the thought in TV and movies.
But back then there was only one, two, maybe three. Now there's more, though.
Now there's more.
That's
but
what I say, yeah.
At the top, there's still no Latino show
on
TV.
Right.
Yeah.
There's one on Netflix. It just barely made its second or third season, I think.
One day at a time?
One day at a time.
Oh. I thought it was close. I thought the Latins was close to having their day, and then the Muslim shit happened. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn.
Well, Well, then Trump came in also in the whole thing. And
so that's like, let's get the opportunity to some Muslims but, and hear what they got to say.
But yeah, there's this feeling, and Felipe's mentioned it before too, like when he was on Last Comic Standing, he's looking at all these comics and then he sees Cristela Alonso was in like the top 40, right?
Yeah.
And he said, that's my only competition. Because they won't ever put two Latinos in the top five.
And that's what Alonzo Bowden said too when he walked by Little Rail and a bunch of other comedians, like seven of them.
Yeah.
He goes, they can't take all of you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But see, that right there, you start thinking about it, it fucks with your head.
And I see it amongst the Black Hollywood here. But my thing is, I'm so outside of it that you become dangerous. You dangerous when you're outside of those things. You know what I mean? Because the tricks that they use to pin you against one another don't work no more. They do that in the hood. Mm-hmm. They pin us against one another. But once you rise above that and you do your own thing, they don't know who the fuck side you on.
You're unpinnable.
Yeah, you become unpinnable. You know what I mean?
Can't put you on your back.
And even the Black comics look at you weird. They look at you weird. You get it from every side. You
become a silverback.
Yeah. You look at it from every side. You know what I mean? Too strong. That's the thing. So you just outcast it from everybody.
But then you see somebody, you see like Cardi B blow up, right? And then you go, she didn't have to change anything.
Nope.
Right? So now all these people, now they're looking for the next Cardi B. Now that's what we want. Now we want somebody who's ghetto. We don't give a shit. But before, you're too ghetto to do anything.
The people
got to
make you.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be from the people. It's
even with yourself,
ghetto.
With your style. You know what I mean? Me coming in here, like being in Latin rooms, I'm listening to what people talk about. And I'm hearing Felipe dropping these gems. Like, pow, like these straight shooters. Boom, boom. Which is just straight up. If you didn't know anything about joke writing or whatever, it's just a straight universal style. You know what I mean? And Cat Williams is like that on the low. You listen to Cat Williams' jokes. If you take away your accent and you take away Cat's pimp type shit, it's just straight
comedy.
And it's like, that's what's dope. So that's what's dope to me about somebody like yourself breaking through. You know what I mean? And somebody like myself who's starting to gain momentum in the city is like, they going to start to accept or see like, oh, this is who this nigga is. You know what I mean? And why he's off a little bit.
You know what I mean? You ain't manufactured.
Yeah, I ain't manufactured. Like, I'm bringing, you know, all of the things that I experienced with me. Like, I'm not afraid to say I'm fucked up or I got a little monster living with inside me or I dealt with the drug game before. You know what I mean? I almost blew a building up in my early 20s. You know, I ain't afraid to say that shit. So that's when it's like, oh, okay. And then people start to slowly listen and be like, man, you got some interesting stuff to talk about. So that's where I'm at now. So now when the community is like, hey, man, you need to put out a special.
So, how'd you almost blow up that building, making PCP?
How I almost blew it up?
Leaving a PCP jar open?
No, that's
drink that Cuban water.
It's kind of long to get into, but it'll have been just the rewiring of a few things in the building. To where if somebody hit a light switch, it would have had a nice little light show, you know.
Anarchist cookbook, Doc.
That's where I was at the time. But I'm over that now. When I was young, my mom let me play with matches because she
me
said,
too, man.
Yeah.
The one time I was an established comedian at the Laugh Factory, and I had it all planned out too. But I just needed, but I couldn't do it because I couldn't. I would only work with another guy, and I didn't want the other guy to know.
Yeah, see.
I just needed one hand of the wrist, bro.
It's just one little thing.
The ice pick would have been perfect. It's in his ass. Take it out. Hand over the ice pick to somebody. And I'm standing right next to him. He would never thought it was me.
But ain't you glad? Ain't you glad?
I want to snitch your ass out, dog.
Yeah.
For a spot.
But ain't Jamie? You glad you didn't do it?
Yeah. Nah.
He still dreams about it.
Nah, I'm glad I didn't do it now.
Shit ain't worth nothing, dog.
It ain't, but at the time, it's worth a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
your emotions
are
fine.
You're salivating at the mouth.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Woo. And it could be like one of the, it's something that, it's like common. If you're like, if I pull this off, it's like busting the biggest nut ever. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Man.
But then, you know, you don't.
Yeah, like what happens at the end of Dead Presidents, dog? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that was, there's always stuff like that that shows you what really happened.
Yeah.
You know? Man, I'm glad I didn't do that one thing.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm glad it was just a dream.
That snippet, dog.
That's why I talk about, like, school shootings and stuff, you know what I mean? Because I know what it's like mentally to have those thoughts. But I was like, nobody think about the guy who wants to do a school shooting but can't afford to.
Because even the school shooters are privileged.
Yeah,
they
man.
They got access to these things.
Where are they getting those bomb-ass guns at, dog? Yeah.
I'm going to go in there, bro, with my slingshot, bro.
Just hitting.
If you pull one off like that, dude, that'll be the shit, dog.
A slingshot master?
Yeah. Fucking kill two cops on the way out.
And then, but it'd still be some white person.
How about like, that David and Goliath thing, that thing? What is that
oh,
thing?
Yeah, that thing you
what
roll
is that
sling,
shit?
Slingshot, right?
Yeah.
That's like
yeah.
an arm
oh,
slingshot
that's,
or something,
that's
right?
an old-fashioned slingshot. Yeah, that's
like
yeah. That's the old
them.
David and Goliath
yeah.
slingshot.
I try to throw a rocket at that once. You know what? It's just hard
you,
to aim.
Hit yourself.
Yeah,
you have to know when.
Technique
yeah,
right there, man.
When to let it go and at what point in the circle, you know, like how where it's going to fly.
Like fucking with rodeo rope and shit.
Just the same thing with a boomerang, man.
Same shit.
I can't aim at a boomerang. I'll never hit anybody with a boomerang.
How the fuck that become a weapon?
I don't know, dog. That's aboriginal.
So if you miss, it comes back, right? If you miss, it comes back.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to throw it at the person.
If you succeed, it'll kill or hit the person or the animal. And then
but
if
who
it
was,
does, retrieve it.
Who was smart enough who was like, all right, I threw the shit.
The original
I'm too
Australia.
Lazy to go get that motherfucker. So if I just tweak it a little bit, it'll fly back to me.
Genius.
Catch that shit, dog.
How many times did he do it without killing other people, dog?
Thousands, dude.
Because that shit flew back. It was made of hard wood, right?
Yeah.
Oh, clock your ass, dog.
You had to test that shit out, too, just to get it right?
Yeah,
that's a Mike Tyson punch out here right there, fool.
It was solid wood, right, with a little steel?
Like one of that old ass Australian oak,
like balsa wood, or something.
Right
I don't know,
by the Rock of Gibraltar.
And the first few times, it didn't come directly back to you. It went somewhere else.
Yeah,
and you had to find it. Yeah,
straight killing a yak with that shit, dog.
Man, that's a gangster ass. Well, there's been some gangster weapons in the history of time. Them old clubs. You ever see them old clubs in the museum?
Oh, hell
them,
yeah.
How about them old police clubs?
Yeah, them old like little baseball bats at the cops.
Yeah, man, Billy clubs, hard leather with. I think Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte had one
right?
of those in Mahalan Falls.
That's a blackjack.
He had a little blackjack, bro, like this small.
It led.
I think Richard Pryor got killed one of those in The Song Remains the Same. No. Lady Sings the Blues, the Buddy Holly movie where he was a heroin addict.
These Billy
two,
Holiday.
Billy Holiday. Two dudes killed him. What did I say?
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly. It's same bows. Billy Holiday.
Billy Holiday.
He got killed with a little metal rod.
Yeah.
I was one of them, but they're illegal, right?
They're illegal. Weird. But yeah, you're supposed to like, it's to go like, I think at the back of the head, back of
lights
the neck.
Lights out.
Yeah. Like
real quick,
it's,
right?
It's lead and it's covered with leather.
You can find those at swap meets, dude. Yeah.
But a lot of the native tribes used to have those little clubs.
Oh,
too.
Hell yeah.
Our weapons are all based on primitive weapons, or what we call primitive.
It wasn't until they made phones and irons that we started using those weapons.
Now the only weapon I use is my keyboard, bro.
Just beefing on the keyboard.
Russian bot.
It's funny. You can ruin somebody's career with a hashtag.
Isn't that crazy?
What's up with that bullshit, dog?
My whole life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about this weekend, the Michael Che thing, because Michael Che commented.
What happened with him?
Well, he commented that he's supposed to be hosting the Emmys, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, part of it, yeah.
And but he commented on some of the specials. He didn't even say anybody's name, but he commented on how a lot of the comedy specials on Netflix these days are not comedy specials.
They're like one-man shows.
They're like TED Talks. Yeah. Lectures. And he was talking about – he kind of – got specific when he said that, you know, rape jokes aren't funny. We all agree on that. You know what's really not funny? Rape stories, you know, about real being raped.
The chick with the
glasses. Nanette.
Yeah, well, Hannah Gadsby, I think is her name. But
hello, Nanette.
Nanette is the name of the special. Because this woman, and it's about she based it on some woman who treated her like shit because of her gender and the way she looks.
Mom.
But he's totally right, though, what he said. He was like, a lot of these specials, like the last three he had seen, aren't comedy. I'm not laughing at all. And he's right. And as much as I liked Hannah's, what she had to say, it's not a comedy special. And it's just, and then everybody attacked Michael. Because, and it was all like LGBT.
He erased his Instagram.
He erased everything on his Instagram. Deleted
You're
his Twitter.
Lying,
yeah.
Everything.
Don't even
just
want,
gone.
Not worth fighting, huh?
Yeah, and it's ridiculous because he is totally right. And you and I had this conversation a week before he said anything. And I said, you know what? I have to separate her talk because her talk was important and it had a lot of good points. But it's not a comedy special. It's not. Even though she had some funny delivery and stuff in the first half hour, the rest of it, it's a lecture. That's what it is.
It is, I don't know. It's just all I can say is like, it's so distinctive and it's like
I guess, trying to give us insight on this thing.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like...
But the craft of comedy is turning that into something funny. Yeah, you know, it's turning that oppression, it's turning that pain that you've gone through or whatever into comedy. That's the skill. Just talking about it, even if it's in an eloquent way, if it doesn't make people laugh, it's not a comedy
special. Definitely came off like a one-woman show. Yeah, and it was breaking down comedy in a sense that's like... Sometimes people don't even want to hear.
Right.
But a lot of people wanted to hear it because I guess it was addressed in that, the way she did it. But I don't know, man. She quit.
Yeah, she said she was going to quit, but I don't know if
but
she
I don't
really
want to see. I don't want to see nothing else after this. I don't want you to come back like, oh, that was a success. They offered me to do another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where's that boomerang at?
Yeah, that boomerang. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So damn.
It's scary though the way comedy. Hey,
but you don't
going.
Think like if you don't fight that though, then like it keeps boy, on happening.
I had a homeboy. He did a comedy special for HBO, and he had cancer. And people was like, "You better die, you better die."
After this. I know who
he
you're
had
talking
to cancel
about.
It. No, cancel
he had cancer.
Oh, he got
so
cancer.
They based it
oh,
on
that,
that
guy.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
And they was like, "You better die after this, because if you don't."
Oh, people were People were asking him how his cancer was going, but not. Genuinely concerned. They wanted to know, like, when are you going to die?
Yeah, they turn into a thing. You know what I mean?
He's still alive, right?
Yeah.
My
stacking special can be called Eulogy.
The laughter keeps me alive, dog.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know? Trying to get that second special off, you know what I mean? So, who knows, man?
That's why I don't do a second show.
No shows on Sundays,
So, yeah, man, I don't know, man. It's an interesting game. I just got to get in it myself. I'm going to drop something. I said, well, I just make a decree right now. Byron Bowers is going to drop something. People are asking about it now, and I just think it's time. Oh, nobody going to respond? Okay, cool.
No, I think
it
you
is your time, though.
Because this is the same thing. Like, what you're talking about is right. There are agents out there who don't get it, managers who don't get it. We pitched his comedy special, this last one we did on HBO. We pitched it... I don't know. He did a showcase like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We were talking to different people. Nobody was really interested. Everybody's like, yeah. But we wanted to capture it. And so we did it ourselves. We paid for it. We hired the crew. We did it. We shot it. And then we had something to pitch to people. And then HBO wanted it.
Well, yeah, we sold it to them.
But they wanted to put it on HBO Latino only. And then we said no. And then they came back and changed their offer. But... And we accepted it. But
we are nominated for Imagen Award,
Imagen,
by the way.
We are nominated.
Congratulations.
I'm going to ask y'all about how that process when we done so I could take notes and figure out how I can get this thing done.
And also, Owen.
Claude Squires, right?
Claude Shires.
Shires.
My lord.
He's a squire.
Claude Shires.
You have to know him, but his dad invented Gatorade.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
What? There's it's always weird when you meet people.
He's
like
a stand up comedian. Yeah, I didn't even know that when I first met him. 15 years ago. Then later on, I find out his dad invented Gatorade.
Yeah, Johnny Sanchez said, yeah, man, his dad invented Gatorade, man.
It's crazy, yeah, when you meet people like that, and you're like, oh, why are you doing this?
I don't think he
should be making a Michelada Gatorade.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting the money from that right now.
Oh,
he's
thirsty.
Son from the second wife.
Not even electrolytes? Can a nigga get some electrolytes? God damn.
That's why he's thirsty.
He invented coolers. Yeah, man. So now I know the guy who invented Gatorade and the guy who invented Hot Cheetos.
Oh, wasn't that a black dude?
No, the Mexican dude.
Mexican guy. Oh, okay.
He's a janitor, though.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
He was a janitor for Pepsi, though. Frito-Lay.
I heard, yeah, that's cool.
And Arab ties.
And he used to have...
dressing like a sheik.
He had a rough look.
Ain't that crazy how you can stumble upon something like that?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, kind of made me want to play the lottery a little bit.
$500 million?
$500 million, yeah.
I don't know what I'd do.
I did play a lot last week, and I didn't get no numbers. Only one. I got the last one, the one. And it was at 300 now. Wow. Mega Millions or
I don't know if Vinny told me it's 500,000 or something.
Oh,
like
a Powerball?
A Powerball is 300 million last week. Yeah. What would you do with 300 million, Rodrigo? Get the fuck out of here?
Fuck no. Build just like, dude, it'll be crazy, dog.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Build extermination.
Come nah,
dude, not pay taxes.
What would you build, dog?
Dude, I would build a compound for just my homies, dog, to live. And then I'll start like a political action committee. Wow. I'll build the first Mexican-American prep school. That's what I would do.
See, it's people like you. That's how my lady is. It's people like y'all that get money because y'all are like, this is what I'm going to do with it. Meanwhile, I'm going to hoard it. Like, I would go to Italy. I'd get my family to finally travel and not be afraid to get on the plane and see some shit. And then I would. But it'd be hard not to tell them. I wouldn't tell them where the money came from. I can't be like, I got that type of family. I can't be like, I want money, so I got to funnel
it. If I had that much money, I'd just be spitting it at people, dog.
No, I got to funnel it through some channels and be like, you know what I mean?
You know, because money you can fuck off and write off or whatever, you know, in other ways.
Yeah, but you still, like, with the type of family I got.
They'll keep coming back.
They'll be reaching their hand out like Allstate.
Oh, no, there'll be conditions, too. I mean, don't be coming back with your fucking, you know, you got to do something, dog.
Well, so your brother, man, he wants to start a circus.
Fuck, we'll get an elephant, dog, a little cage, a whip, a chair.
But it's like Paul, but if their mentality is off, no amount of money is going to help.
Yeah, man.
Like you were talking about Paul Rodriguez's brother.
His Paul Rodriguez's brother, bro.
He's a mechanic. He's a
mechanic. Badass mechanic, fixing the whole neighborhood's car. Everybody in the neighborhood, he's always working all day long. Paul Rodriguez gets that for a real garage.
Buys him a garage.
A garage under 6 months.
See, that wasn't, he wasn't at it. He was part of the community, dog. Yeah. It's like when you try to take your mom out of the hood.
Nobody showed up.
Right. But it's up to what you want to do with it. But when you're going to try to force someone to go to school and give them money, like if you're rich and you give your kid money to go to school and he doesn't want to go to school, this fool wants to party. He's going to party, dog. Yeah. That's it.
I'm going to give him show him an ounce of weed and $1,000. Which one do you want?
Can we get both?
Like, my mom got 7 siblings, right? And my grandma's still alive. So you come up on, like, some money, and you be like, here, Mom, if I give you this chunk of money, you could live forever.
Everybody shows up.
That all money gone.
Yeah, they come like little baby birds.
I got little brothers like that.
They chipping that little rock,
like,
dog.
Like when you won Last Comic Standing, that dude hit you up for his rent money.
$10,000
to pay his rent. Because he backed him up in a fight years ago.
Him and I assaulted somebody.
I'll send you a t-shirt, dog.
When I hear what happened to, like, people when they get on, it's crazy. Like, they'd be like they'd be like, hey man, some dudes was gonna rob your mama last week, but I stopped them from robbing. Let me get like 40,000. That's what makes it hard for athletes. That's the shit they go through all the time. You know
for reals?
Yeah, you be hearing those weird stories and then they end up like having to like roll like 30 deep to places, you know what I mean?
But now they got an entourage, now they got like a overhead that's like
yeah, like we had a rapper here from Atlanta. Cap, what's his name? Cap G.
Cap G.
He from Camden Yard, Camden Park,
College Park.
College Park.
I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a Mexican dude. Grew up in an all black neighborhood.
Grew up in a black neighborhood.
Well, you can.
Yeah, and then he has like he has a jacket like this, rapping, and he travels deep too, huh?
Yeah, a
hundred of fools of them.
I understand. Yeah. I did a comedy festival, and I was around some comics. I think everybody was like alternative or some shit. And I was like.
And like alternative facts, you know, but.
Yeah. And I never forget, it was like Ferguson riots going on. And I'm in like this lovely ass place. I'm in like Hawaii somewhere. And I was like, man, I wish my nigga was here to see this shit. And they not. And it's like one of those things, like everybody you started off on the journey with are gone. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, man, about that feeling. I get that feeling a lot. I was staying at the Sheraton, man, in San Diego. And it's like, it's right, all the hotel rooms, every hotel room, even the cheap ones, the small ones, you can still see the beach. So everybody gets to see the beach. And I started Googling through what person stood in his room, what did he say. And it was one brother, man, he was from Wilmington or Compton. Man, you just see in his face that he wishes people could see this.
Yeah.
What did he say, Rodrigo?
I can't quote him word for word, but he's like, man. I wish they could feel this, man, because then we wouldn't be so ruthless out there in the streets.
That's
man.
What it is.
He would say, man. Relax.
We need
he,
this.
He goes, man, San Diego, man. Sometimes a motherfucker needs to get out. He goes, man, just having a good time, y'all. And he fucking puffs his cigarette and his coffee, and it just turns
crazy,
off.
You can man. See the joy.
But you just tell, he's not even like 5 hours away from his hood.
Nah.
It's like an hour and a half drive. But it just feels good to get away.
I tried to save a family member, man. I brought him out, you know what I mean? You know, made him put his foot in the sand. I took him to Malibu. Like, nigga, put your foot in the sand. yeah. Like, take your shoes off. Homes. Yeah, I took him hiking, and then we went down, and I was like, put your foot in the sand. Feel how cold that motherfucking water is. You know, I always take people that come from, like, Atlanta there, and, like, you feel how cold this water is. See what we go through over here. And then I do little shit like that just so they can see how beautiful this place is. You know what I mean? And it is something about wishing they was here, because you know some people ain't gonna be able to see it.
I know, man.
For some reason, you know what I mean?
Like I was at the movie premiere for Amy Schumer movie, Girl. I don't know if the name
Pretty
of the movie.
Girl.
Pretty Girl.
Yeah, I feel
and
pretty.
I was there by myself, you know? And like, man, and I was thinking to myself, you know, man, I mean, I'm not even in this fucking movie. What am I walking through here? Yeah. This is some bullshit. I wanted to leave already. But then I saw a fan that was happy, bro, to see me. And his excitement, he wanted to be where I was at.
Yeah.
So I just said, hey, man, what you doing later? Okay, is that your lady? All right. You want to come with me to the red carpet right now and just walk with me? And I'll give you fucking 2 tickets to the after party and 2 tickets to the movie.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, I made their night. I made their world. Yeah.
To have a cool-ass story one day for his grandkids.
It's dope when you could do
and
that.
And it felt good now because I felt like, you know, now that I shared my experience with this stranger, and you know, I felt good about it, and I know that he felt good because he still talks about it.
Yeah.
Where's the next one?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, my best friend from high school finally made it to Cali for 10 years.
Wow.
In 10 years, he finally made it. And he had like 2 hours to spare for us to hang out. And that was the last time I saw y'all. I took him by Eric Andre's party.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, God. That's the last time we've seen you, dog.
And I was like, hey, man, you got to see
how... This naked man.
See how people are living out here. It's just a different...
it's a freedom
that we don't have. You know, it's a freedom that people in the barrios don't... They can't even fathom. You know what I mean?
Because anybody weird or different is shunned, is treated like...
You come out of an environment where you do something like that, you're going to get checked.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like, I keep telling this story when I did a show for the homeboy industry, Father Greg Boyle, they helped these gangs get jobs and they come out of prison, kind of like a gang prevention, and I had Laugh Factory tickets. And I said, where's the Laugh Factory at? Oh, man, first of all, you got to do the 101 North. Fuck that, homie! Yeah. I don't know shit about no 101 North, dog!
Yeah.
You got anything here in East LA or Montebello, 605 North? I said, no, man, there's another world over here, past the 5 South.
Yeah,
but see, only you and a few others wanted to go into that world. You know, you were craving what's in Hollywood. I just want to go see.
Man, let me tell you, man, I will get up in the morning on Saturday, and my mom wouldn't see me all day.
There's
bro.
No barrier.
I could have got kidnapped
for
the last 11 hours. I will hop on the number one bus and take that motherfucker all the way to Sunset and Hollywood, to Hollywood Ends. Then I'll just start walking all the way to Hollywood and then go to Sunset. Do a little shoplifting in Melrose, bro.
But you
take some silver rings and sell them.
Gotta get your beak wet, dog.
But there's no real barrier there. You can do it. Yeah. Everybody in your hood can do it, but they don't.
Like even the ballers would make all their money and not go
just
nowhere.
Show it off to everybody there.
Just be in the hood. Mm-hmm. I remember I was clowning on somebody, and that fool wanted to fight because he had a brand new car, everything. Motherfucker, man, your car had 120,000 miles. On one street.
that's hilarious.
I told you need
but that's what it is, man.
Busted ass CV boot.
Yeah, man. It's 2 videos I got of my homeboys crying because they left for the first time. And they was like, man, we spend money on rims, cars.
Yeah.
It's just that to immediate, drive around the same place. And look how crazy this shit is. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It's interesting, man. It's very interesting. I took a cousin with me. I went to Japan. I gave him acid. I was like, try this shit.
Damn.
Tight, dog.
Take your shoes off on the grass. And we was in a park with our shoes off. Them Japanese people were staring at us. And then we was like, oh, this is where the dogs take shit. We out here barefoot. But we having
What is that saying, fam?
We having a moment right now. You know what I mean? And he's staring at a bird. I watched this nigga stare at a bird. And he was talking to a bird through his mind. Right? And he got deep and the bird just kept coming towards him. Step by step as the bird gained trust. And then he realized, oh, shit, I'm talking to a bird. And he looked back at me. And he was like, nigga, I'm talking to this bird. And I was like, I see what's going on.
We on that frequency.
Yeah, we on that frequency. And guess what? He's scared of birds. He's legit scared of birds. But for that moment, he wasn't afraid of birds no more.
That's funny. Yeah, my brother has never left Ohio. I have a brother who's never got on a plane. And he's never left Ohio. I don't even think he's gotten out of Cincinnati or Columbus.
I should find people that go on vacation and they go to the same spots.
Yeah.
Like Hard Rock.
Hard Rock. Olive Garden.
They're trying to find Chipotle in Thailand.
Cheesecake Factory. That's all they want. That's how my other brother is. He travels, but only around the U.S., only a few select spots that you can drive to, and he wants Hard Rock, Cheesecake Factory.
He should go to Cuba and ask for an apple to see what the fuck happens. We like, apples. She's like, huh? Apple, okay? Apple. We pulled out the phone and pointed.
Manzana.
And she's like, oh, Manzana. No, we don't have here.
Was, in white.
They don't even have, like country, like national farms, right? They don't have.
It's, oh, man, the bananas are tiny.
Yeah.
Did you, I heard what's bomb over there is pure sugar cane juice.
Well, oh, that's dope.
Oh,
you can get that
downtown
in Chinatown. Yeah. They have a place in Chinatown. He gets it all the time over there.
Bro.
It's gross.
She thinks it's gross. I think it's delicious.
But I heard the Cuban one.
Like, it tastes like just sugar.
Man. Yeah, the lady has the same thing.
And they hit something with it or whatever, a little spike it.
My girl, she kept getting a guava.
Guava. That's what she guava and cheese.
And, you know, they breaking them, they breaking the cantaloupes open. What they call it? Not the cantaloupes.
Coconut.
Coconuts open. And they still a little tart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It tastes a little different because the water supply or whatever is different over there. So, you know what I mean? It's very interesting, man. If you go to you can find places like people cooking. People cook for in their home.
Well, that's what my homeboy said. You like, you know, you get them groceries, and yeah. they'll set you up. You show up at lunchtime, they have a meal for you. You're feeding the rest of the family. They got dinner for you. You go about your ways.
For $20, you can stay at their house, and they wake up with a meal. Meanwhile, a hotel is like $380.
$380. They're capitalizing on that tourist.
Yeah, we end up getting a hotel, and it was like. 380 or 4 something.
Because they've got to get a cut to the government.
Yeah.
And
the Cohiba was, one was the Riviera and one was the Cohiba. The Cohiba was 6 something.
God damn.
And but the locals, like, they're not supposed to do that. They're not supposed to have a restaurant or a hotel or whatever because they're supposed to give a cut to the government.
Yeah.
And they just don't do it all, like, on the down low.
And I heard they're all, like, straight-up tight-knit because the homeboy said that the family that was cooking for them, there was, like, 7 families that had a cow and a pig, and they hide them. And, like, you know, they have a little – and then they grow them that way. And then when it's time to, you know, they're ripe, they cut them up and everybody gets a piece.
That's the thing. Yeah, my uncle them did that. They split a goat. They would split goats and stuff like that, 300 for a goat, feed it. Pump it, and then they would break it up and flip it. You know what I mean? That's what they did. And that's not like – that's because I'm born in Athens. That's a country town. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people wasn't educated. That's how they made they whatever. You know what I mean? But Cubano is like that. You know what I mean? And it's cool to, like, even see that and be able to go to somebody and be like – like, we got a ride somewhere. We was like, how much for this? And the guy was like, give me this much, and I'll take you. And we did. And he made us stop and pay the cell phone bill. With the money we just gave them. You know what I mean? That's the type of, like, hood shit.
Talk about check by check.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They getting it. Like, so it makes sense once you understand the, you know, the hustle. And you, to me, like, yeah, you got to land somewhere and pick up on shit fast in certain places. You know what I mean? Or they gonna give you that dick. You know what I mean?
They ain't going to spit on that shit.
Yeah, they ain't going to even spit. Ain't no Vaseline or nothing. They going to just be like, this is how we serve dick here.
Just like New York cab driver before Lyft.
Right?
Man.
Jacking everybody.
Taking the long way home.
Yeah, always. You got to tell them what route to take in New York.
Oh, no, that happened.
I know how to get there.
You have to tell them. No, but they have to follow what you ask. They have to take your route if you tell them. But a lot of people don't know the route, so they don't say anything.
Beirut like that. I called a cab somewhere, and it was $15. And then I hopped on Wi-Fi. I called an Uber back for $5. I was like, damn.
What's up, fool? Byron here. What's up, fool?
What's going down, fool? Fool?
Give everybody your Instagram and Twitter again.
At Byron Bowers. You know, Twitter at Byron Bowers. And Facebook is at Byron Bowers.
Rodrigo?
At Rodrigo Torres.
When's the next show?
August 7th in Riverside with Martin Moreno at the Fox Performing Arts Center, 8 p.m. And August 14th, I'll be in Temecula.
Hey, fool, before we go, man, how was that show you did with Martin, Amazon?
Oh, with Rizzo and Flacco? Fool, it was like a sauna in there, dog. It was a sauna.
Hot cameras, huh? Hot lights. Oh,
dude, the place was hot. He was running, you know those window banger ACs? Mm-hmm. The guy had it ducted from the front door into the little studio, which it wasn't even bigger than here, dog.
Yeah, performing in here?
Yeah, and not here, but a place this size. But, you know, just ratty and just, it was so hot, man. So hot. I brought a jacket to look smaller. I couldn't even wear my jacket, dog. I'm over there, I was melting, dog.
Shout out! Oh shit! Ooh, whistle! Shout out to that guy, bro. I forgot his name already. The big guy we met.
Ismael.
Ismael. Shout out to Ismael from Oxnard, homie. Thank you for fucking listening every week. Also, thank you to Alex the Great, Alex the Large, and also Mega Man for listening to us on the night.
Yeah, Ismael from Ventura.
Yo, yo, yo. If this goes out when I think it goes out, I know I got two stores at the Comedy Store tomorrow. Crack them up Thursday, which is the black show. Then I'm going to hop over to the white room and do a show. You know what I mean? I'm also going to be at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. LBC in the house, Pine Street. You know what I mean? I know y'all out there trying to buy niggas shoes and shit, but we out there doing our thing.
Pine Street.
Pine Street. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I got like 8 shows this week. So, yeah, go to my website, ByronBowersLive.com, and then check it out and pop up and say, what's up, fool? Say how he say it, and then I know
you. What's up, fool?
I know where you're coming
Just
from.
Just hit him up, man. Also, man, I might be doing a little music video, bro, with Mezcalito at Tres Puntos this weekend.
Cinco Puntos.
Cinco Puntos?
Right there by the Pino?
Yeah. Or Tres Puntos. Or Tres Puntos is the gang. Cinco, okay.
Those are the dots.
The Tres Puntos.
That's, right here, that's the most craziest neighborhood where that Mexican restaurant is, because there's a
Lorena and Cesar Chavez?
There's a cemetery, right? And there's people who jog on that cemetery, right? For years they've been jogging that cemetery.
Evergreen, right?
Yeah. And now white people move in and they added a track.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's some shit.
So now the cemetery has our actual track around where you could jog, right? Because I remember, man.
They did that in Silver Lake, too.
Yeah, so.
Property taxes.
That neighborhood is still bad, though. I don't give a fuck if you put a track or anything. That when you would jog there when you were younger, you couldn't be a thug and jog because every section of that cemetery was owned by a different neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like the other side of Whittier was White Fence. Then this side was East LA Tiny Dukes. Then the other side was some other gang I didn't know because I never went. Oh, Evergreen. So, man, just like a little history about that cemetery, man. Also, there's a lot of dead homies in that cemetery.
I was about to say, was the neighborhood people buried in a certain section of the cemetery too?
Well, because it was a Jewish cemetery. Was it a Jewish cemetery before or it just had some Jews
neighborhood?
Serbian.
Okay. Like, Serbian.
But it wasn't like an official Jewish temporary.
Yeah.
Or a cemetery. Okay.
I think that cemetery is called Assumption.
Yeah, because it says right there on the other side on 3rd Street. It says
it's Serbian. Weird. Like so many Serbians were buried there. I didn't even know where they came from.
It was probably a little echelon back in the day right there.
Interesting.
But now it's White Fins and Tiny Dukes and
man, them caskets full of guns and drugs. They brought them over and then they just buried it.
Ghost bang.
What's up, fool? Coming up in the future on the podcast, we're gonna have that guy from White Fins, bro. That he's gonna do his little testimony here. Hola, Leoms. Here's the Louis.
Harvey Weinstein.
How you doing, bro?
Hey, that's my brother, Louis.
What's up?
Mark,
man. Dude, this fool has mad history, dude. Mad, he's like
18
selling,
years clean.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Ex-heroin addict, but dude, he's cool. But this fool's all trying to start bagging on this fool. Oh, my God, dude. It was hilarious, dude. Had all those fools laughing in there, dog.
That's funny, right? He hangs out there. He's security guard at that weed shop, right?
Yeah.
And, like, he looks crazy, right? But when he leaves, he puts his good teeth on, bro. Like, when he's working, he's looking like he has bad teeth on, right? To look crazy, but when he leaves, bro, look pretty smiley.
And the old school, like, starch.
Oh, my God. Those pants.
He starches his pants.
Oh, my God.
Just the way he has his creases and the way he does his pants.
He has two creases in the front of his T-shirt.
Wow.
He has two creases in the front. A one crease in the back,
wow.
In the middle,
it's like a
plate. And one crease on the sides, yeah. And his pants are creased,
and
his boxers are creased. Yeah. Even his Levi's look like Dockers, but they're creased.
Even my socks are creased, huh?
Why haven't any cholos or former cholos started dry cleaning shops? Because they could be some badass iron.
I don't do no iron, pressing. Only
that doesn't even exist anymore. Back in when a little kid, all the cholos were all perfectly pressed, yeah. Even the Pendletons.
Yeah. They do like
Birdman still cares about that. He lives.
Did the cholos change like the hipsters change?
No, yeah, they changed.
When I was coming up, the hipsters was like the white band guys who did.
But you still see the little crazy little cholos. You wearing a big ass white T-shirt, dog.
Yeah,
don't get close.
Yeah, man, every once in a while, man, you see some pale ass Echo Park gangster walking around out of nowhere, dude.
pulling that cat on your ass.
But it looks out of place now, though, just like Antoine Farquhar coming out.
You don't see him because they usually come out at night.
Yeah, it's like coming out him coming out of prison with the goldfish platform.
Everybody says that shit's gone. It's not gone, though.
Yeah, I remember when they started banning khakis, Cholo started wearing Dockers.
That's hilarious. They banned khakis.
And then they banned Dockers.
Get the hell out of here.
They don't fool during house parties.
And they banned wife beaters, so then they wore jerseys, yes. Laker jerseys. Now they can't wear Laker jerseys.
They can't wear no jerseys. Yeah. I went to a couple of clubs in Kansas, and we're in Georgia, where it's, the whole sign was the dress code for the Ludacris concert.
Yeah, my hometown.
No jerseys, no hats.
Mm-hmm. Fool, remember they that show that. You did for Saginaw? Remember all those old school fools all dressed like Mark? There was a whole section of those fools.
They did that in black. They did that to keep certain black people out of clubs.
The same thing in Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio, where I'm from. They had the same thing. All the dress code.
No baggy hats. No baggy jeans. Yeah. No sneakers.
You couldn't have in my junior high school, we couldn't have colored shoelaces.
Why? Because they felt like that was communicating. We didn't get that bad in our school.
Yeah, they felt like that was communicating with other gang members.
Our color was red.
Oh, your school colors are red? Ours were black and gold.
Ours was gold letter with for the R, and then the whole hat was red.
But yeah, there were Crips and Bloods, but I knew a lot of drug dealers in my high school and stuff, but not gang members. I mean, I didn't know any gang members there.
Cholo started dressing like regular fools once they were like being chased by the police.
Yeah, once they realized they were.
Because I remember this guy named Polo. My mom used to babysit that fool, bro. That fool went on a shooting spree, bro. And later on, I saw him walking. He was wearing overalls with a nice t-shirt, Dockers boots, and a hat, dude, looking like a hipster in the 90s.
In a trapper keeper.
Yeah.
They religious.
One thing that changed, though, Cholos have backpacks now with guns and pounds of weed inside.
Yeah. Still exists, though.
What's up, fool? Shout out to Baby Bash, wherever you at, dog. Hit up Baby Bash. Tell him we said what's up. Kid Frost for being a guest. Cap G, Byron Ball is right here.
I don't know what that was. I'm sorry.
Oh, the helicopter.
Cardi B. That's Cardi B doing those.
What's up, fool? It's getting brazy here. Shout out to Toby Hicks, the Dope Dealers podcast.
Bye.
And Yo-Yo-Yo podcast. And George Perez with his little gold teeth.